Well, guys, we're going to start. Let's go ahead. We're going to pray. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for tonight. We thank you that we are here to learn together, grow together in regards to what your word says about finances, Father. We thank you that as we start teaching here tonight, the Holy Ghost lives in each and every one of us. He resides in the atmosphere, and we just thank you that we have no choice but to have a good time in you. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go over the syllabus real quick. This is a syllabus for biblical finances. The required week. I will be your teacher for this course. My name is Devon Daniel. I hail from the Virgin Islands, and 32 square miles. Yes, 32 square miles. Yes. And well, we got a couple, is just how many work, but you know, and a whole lot of potholes. No, but as most of you guys know, I'm an executive pastor here, and I'm honored to be teaching this class with you guys. The required reading, Favor, The Road to Success by Bob Buse. That's the book that you have there. That's a required reading for the class. For extra credit, you can read The Blessed Life. That's the best life we've done. I led the small group for The Blessed Life here when we did small groups here. It's a really great book, teaches you the power of tithing and really how to receive from God. The course goal, learning about finances from God's perspective. Learn his methods, see the examples in the Bible, and to discover his will for finances in your life. That's what this course is about. We've taught some about finances here at BVC, but this gives you a chance to just get into it and get deep into it and get it in your heart and just solidify it. A lot of things you know, but hey, that'll be good. Miss Naomi! So, yes. No, that's okay. I'll look at it after. Let's look at it after. Yeah, we'll look at it after. It's like a 10 book, I think it is, with a little like red lettering or something like that. But I'll look at it. We'll look at it after and I'll show you. Yeah. Orange color? Okay. Can you pass that back to Miss Naomi, please? Alrighty. There you go. Alrighty. The attendance sheet. I think Lisa said it over here. Okay. All right, so there we go. So that's what we're going to be doing. A key subject for this course, it will be God's will and finances, going from poverty to abundance. How many of you guys want to know about that? We all want to learn more about that. Learning how to be content. It seems the opposite, but it goes right with it. You know, learning how to be content with what you have. Tithing. That's what it starts with. Giving and receiving and provision. And of course, we have 4 weeks. It'll be 2 hours of teaching plus 1 hour of homework. And you guys, each of you have your homework already. So I didn't put a name slot on there, so, you know, I tell my kids to do 5 push-ups every time they forget to put their name on their homework. But I'm just kidding. But but just just remember to put your name on your homework when you turn it in next week, and we will go from there. All right? Hey, who's ready? Yeah. Who's ready? Let's do this. First thing about finances we all need to know. We need to know what God's will is concerning finances. You know, if we don't know what, you know, in Hebrews it says, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And we need to know that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we need to know who he is first. And we need to know what he wants from us or what his will is towards us. So first thing we got to do, we got to establish the will of God in finances. You know, the first thing you need to know, God gives life itself, eternal life, and all good things that pertain to life. God gives life. He gave us life. You know, that's why I try to tell anyone that feels like they're a mistake, that, you know, that something shouldn't have happened or whatever, God is the one that gave you life. If you're in here, God gave you life. So he has a will for your life. He has a plan for your life. And concerning finances, he has a will for you and a plan for you that he wants you to follow. Genesis 2:7, it says, "And the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." 1 John 5:11, it says, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. This is in his Son." You know, so yes, God sent Jesus to die on the earth for us so we can get to heaven. But as I like to say, Jesus is more than fire insurance. You know, he's not just fire insurance. He's not just getting into heaven, excuse me. You know, but I mean, really, when you look at it, just getting into heaven, you know, it's a lot better than the other side. You know, that's a lot better than going down. But I like to say it like this. God has, once you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, your eternal life starts now. It starts now. You're just still here on earth, but your eternal life has already started. You're just still here on earth. So the one thing you have to know is that, you know, God's will for you starts right here when you're on earth. And this includes what his will is for you in biblical finances. So we have to know that. Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace you're saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." The thing you need to learn about finances is that it operates through faith, just like everything else. Just like everything else, finances operate through faith. You really have to look at it like this. Faith is the language of God. That's how God talks. He talks through faith. He doesn't talk by whining. He doesn't talk by tears. That's how he talks, how he communicates. It's by faith. And that's what we need. That's what we need to operate by. And we need to remember that. James 1:17, it says, "Every good gift," somebody say every good gift, "and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Every good gift is from God. Finances is from God. Let me tell you something. The last thing the enemy wants is a believer to be rich. That's the last thing. He don't care about anybody else being rich, really, because they're going to hurt themselves, really. They're just going to hurt themselves. You know, money is an amplifier of who you already are. You know, so when you have somebody that knows who they are in Christ and they got some money, that's a mighty weapon for the kingdom of God. That's a mighty weapon for the kingdom of God. 2 Peter 1:3, it said, "According to his divine power hath given all things that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." Everything. He's giving you everything that pertains to life and godliness. We operate by money here on earth. That's how we live. Pigeons don't bring you food every day. If that happens to someone you know, you need to talk to them. See what's going on there. But, you know, we all operate by money. So the first thing you need to know about the will of God is that God wants you to have what you need, and everybody needs money. So guess what? God wants you to have money. That's the first thing you need to know. He wants you to have it. He's not trying to hold it from you. He's not trying to hide it from you. He's not trying to do it. He wants you to have what you need. Like it says there in 2 Peter 1:3, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Does money pertain to life? Yes. And this may seem strange, but it also pertains to godliness. You know, somebody says the most misquoted verse in the Bible is that money is the root of all evil. You know, you guys know this. But of course, you know, the truth is it says the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. So, you know, that's why it says money is, that pertains to godliness as well. Because to live our life, to be a minister to people, to minister to people. Sometimes people don't want to know what you have until you can help them. Some people are just there. And that's why you have outreaches at times. They bring food to people. They'll bring you food. They'll feed you. As a lot of people put it, they'll feed you naturally, then they'll feed you spiritually. Because if you can't feed some people naturally, they don't care what you got spiritually because their main focus is naturally. They're hungry. At that point, they don't even care if they go about heaven or hell. They just know they're hungry because they feel like they're living in hell as it is right there. So you give them the natural food and you give them some spiritual food, and guess what? You have an open door to minister to gospel to them. But guess what? That food is not being brought by pigeons. Somebody is paying for that. And that's why the body of Christ, we need money. We need people to do things God's way. Now, we're going to go into poverty versus prosperity. Poverty versus prosperity. Definition for poverty: living in lack and want below the basic needs of life, and having nothing of which to give to the Lord. I'll repeat it again. Definition for poverty: living in lack and want below the basic needs of life, and having nothing of which to give to the Lord. Everybody got that? One more time? All right. I'm not going to make it really hard on what's going to be on the exam. So living in lack and want below the basic needs of life, and having nothing of which to give to the Lord. So that's what poverty is. You know, poverty is not necessarily the person that's living on the street. That's obvious. But there are people with rooms over their heads and houses, you know, roofs over their heads, and they have the basic needs of life, but sometimes they don't have anything to give to the Lord. That is not how God wants us to live. That is not how God wants us to live. And, you know, there will be seasons that things may be tight. But know that it's seasons. It's a season. Just like there are some seasons where more people than most have the flu, that sometimes there's just seasons. Your life is just a summary of seasons. And sometimes there are some that are tighter than others when it comes to finances. But we can't let that determine the truth of God's word. We can't let that determine the truth of God's word. God's word is what needs to be determines what happened in our life. That needs to be the thing that we focus on, because that's what's going to change our life. Never let a circumstance determine the validity of God's word. Never let any circumstance determine the validity of God's word. Let God's word change your circumstance. All right? Now, prosperity. I'll give you the definition of this: the grace of God by which we live above lack and want, and have a supply beyond of which we give to the Lord. I'll say it again. The grace of God by which we live above lack and want, and have a supply beyond of which we give to the Lord. Prosperity is being able to take care of, is sowing to the Lord, taking care of your needs, and being able to meet other people's needs. And being able to meet other people's needs comfortably. Not just, you know, you're giving everything you have. No, he wants you to be able to take care of someone's needs and still have more. This is the thing. God wants you to enjoy life. Some people will take extremes on one side to another where they believe, you know, there are certain religions that believe, you know, you take a vow of poverty and they're like, you know, God doesn't want me to have nothing because that makes me holy. Man, that just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. God is a God. You know, if you just read through the Old Testament, which is going to be one of the things on your homework, there's plenty of examples of how God just liked to show who he was through lavishness. Just, you don't need that. The temple that Solomon built, it didn't need to be all that extravagant. But God just wanted to show off. He just really wanted to show and get people to understand who he was. And that's the thing with prosperity. He wants to be able to use each and every one of us in here today to show who God is in life. He wants to use you an example of who God can be in someone else's life. He wants to show it to each. He wants to use each and every one of us. All right? Now, there's two levels of prosperity. Two levels of prosperity. One, provision. And that's simply having your needs met. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. Again, I'll read that again. There's two levels of prosperity. The first one is provision, having your needs met. Matthew 6:26. It says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Does anybody think that God loves a bird more than he loves you? Does anybody in here believe that? Okay. You know, Pastor Peggy, depending if he has a dog, that might be a different story. But no, I'm just kidding. You know, but God loves you more than the birds of the field, you know, and anything like that. And he makes sure they're taken care of. So guess what? He's going to make sure you're taken care of. He is always going to make a way that you will be taken care of. That's always going to happen. He's going to make that way possible. He's going to make sure it happens. Sometimes we don't follow that way and we get our way and we get ourselves into trouble. But that's not God's fault. I'll say that again. Sometimes we don't follow God's way and we get into trouble. That is not God's fault. He has made his provision for you. See, sometimes when we're believing for finances, you have to look and be like, okay, if something isn't happening, is it God or is it me? Sometimes you just need to be patient, but sometimes you need to ask God for wisdom on what I'm doing wrong. Personal example is one time things were just tight. You know, we didn't have a savings. This was like a year into our marriage, me and my wife's marriage. We didn't have any kind of savings. We didn't have any time or nothing. We were living paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. You know, sometimes you're calculating four paychecks ahead of time just to see what's going to happen. And I'm like, Lord, what's going on? We're tithing. We're doing this. And, you know, a joke that we have on staff sometimes that says when something happens, we always ask, are you tithing? You know, so I'm checking. I'm making sure that that's happening. And then I got wisdom. And the Lord just said, look at your bank statement. And then I saw a whole lot of Chili's, a whole lot of McDonald's, a whole lot of IHOP, a whole lot of this, a whole lot of Chili's, a whole lot of Chili's, and a whole lot of Chili's. And I realized, this is where my money was going. And it was Chili's. Should have bought stock in them, you know? And I realized, oh my gosh, it's not that God wasn't providing. It was me mismanaging funds. So this is where me and my wife came up with that BUDGET word. You know, a perfect example. This right here. Why is it wet? Anyways, this right here. This is my eat out money. This is what we use to eat out. It's $40. This is my eat out money for, I don't remember if we did it for a week or 2 weeks. I don't remember. But that's what we do. When I eat out, I use this. I don't use my card. We discipline ourselves. You got to do things like that. I'm not saying you have to do that specifically. You need to do what works for you. You need to do what works for you. You know, we sit down, we've made it a habit of when we get paid, we have a spreadsheet, we know what's going where, we see what we got, we see what's coming up, we see what we got, and we got, you know, sometimes be like, Lord, I just thank you that extra is coming in, and then sometimes it's just, Lord, I thank you that we have more than enough. You know, and sometimes you do it, but you examine it. Pastor Peggy always says, she said this one time, and I'll never forget it. She said, growth happens in what you inspect and not what you expect. Growth happens in what you inspect and not what you expect. You know, just because, you know, sometimes you expect some things to happen. How many of you guys in here have expected some things to happen one way and it just didn't happen that? You know what the first thing you need to do is? Don't blame God. Don't say, God, you left me hanging. Inspect what happened. Just like when God told me to inspect my bank statement, and I realized that I was inspecting at Chili's a little too many times. And we made the adjustment, and it was almost like, honestly, it was kind of like, I mean, it took discipline, honestly. It wasn't like a turn around right then, but when I started that discipline, we started to realize, oh man, look at this. And then, you know, we got a child on the way, we didn't have children, and then we're like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Oh, actually, that's what it was. I was praying about it because we were barely living paycheck to paycheck, and she was pregnant, and I was like, what is going to happen when this child comes? Realize what happened right there. And honestly, this has happened 3 or 4 times. So it's a discipline. It's a discipline. So, I don't know how we got on there, but God will always provide for you. That's two levels of prosperity. One is on provision. The second one is abundance. This is the juicy part. Abundance. Definition for abundance: the measure above basic need of which you give to the Lord. Abundance. The measure above basic need of which you give to the Lord. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. Isaiah 55, verse 10. It says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." God's gift of seed is to sow. You know, I have to remind myself of this a lot, is that my job at like the district, my wife's job at Citibank, that is seed to sow. That is not my source of income. Your job is I'll put it like this, and please don't take offense when I say this, but your job is a sad source of, it's a sad source of income. If you look at it as your only source of income, that is not reliable. It may be consistent because you get paid every 2 weeks or first and 15th or whatever it is, but that is not your source. God needs to be your source. And because I like to look at it like this, God is the one that got me, especially in my situation with my job, where I got it and then they were looking to fire people and I stayed on there and everybody thought, why didn't you quit? Why didn't you take the severance package? That I'll talk about that another time. I was about to get a severance package. It's like, no, you should have taken the severance package. You're the last one hired. And I just know I had peace about staying there. And some other guy that was there for 12 years got fired over me. I was sad for him, but I followed God. And I want to look at it like that. That's God being the provider. That's God being the provider. Because he set that up for me. He set that up for me. So abundance is the measure above basic need out of which you give to the Lord. And your job really is what provides you seed to sow. You bring back the first part, and we're going to talk about tithing in the next couple of weeks, but you know, you bring back to God what his. Again, tithing, that tithe, it's not yours in the first place. You just need to look at it that way. You don't feel good because you right now, I don't care if you had $10,000 come in 1 week and you write down a $1,000 check, and you know, don't feel any good. Don't feel any better than the person that's writing out a $100 check, because that $1,000, that tenth, wasn't yours in the first place. You're just simply giving it back to God. You know, God blesses you for giving back to him what's his already. You know, you ever thought about it like that? He blesses you for giving back to him what's his already. You know, it's like, I don't know, what's a good example of this? It's like, oh yeah, somebody borrowed your car. And then they brought it back to you and they get blessed just for bringing it back to you. I guess there's some kind of rewards program for shopping and stuff like that that does that, but still. You know, but God, he blesses you for doing something, for bringing something that's back to him already. That's his already. That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm telling you, look, God's way of doing things is so advantageous to us that it really doesn't make any sense to do it another way. It's all favor towards us. It's all on our side. Like, it's just us. And it's only when we look at the natural things that times we get distracted and we forget about the goodness of God. We forget about it. We just do. And I've been there too. But it's just where your focus is at. Where is your focus? The bread for the eater is provision. The seed for the sower is abundance. The bread for the eater is provision, but the seed for the sower is abundance. You know, God wants you to have your bread, but he wants you to have your cake too. He wants you to have your needs. You need to be, you know, we got to have our needs met. We got to have everything done. And please understand, needs are needs to you. You know, some people have needs that other people, that it won't be a need for them, just depending on your business or whatever. You know, if somebody, like some people may need a car more than other people, if that makes sense. You know, so you just have to know what your needs are and take care, and God will make sure that your needs are taken care of. You're taken care of. But he also wants to give you more than your needs. He wants to bless you and bless you and bless you and bless you. Not just when you sneeze. Okay, I thought that was going to be funnier. But no, sneeze, you know. But he just wants to bless you more than anything else. And we just really have to understand that that's his will towards us. Yes. The bread for the eater is provision. Yeah. The bread for the eater is provision, but the seed for the sower is abundance. All right. Now, we're going to talk about coming out of poverty. We're going to talk about this. All right. In order to get to the level of provision, you must use faith. In order to get to the level of provision, you must use faith. God does not want, let me tell you, I'll tell you again, I'll tell you again. And you know what? And even I'll say, you must have the will of God solidified in your heart before you believe to move from poverty to provision to abundance, before any of that happens, you need to have that will, the will of God, just strong in your heart, because there are going to be times where you are just like, I don't see this. I don't see how this is happening. Well, what is going on? And you're just going to have to believe beyond everything you see that it's God's will for me to be to have abundance. You just have to believe it. You can't wait. Don't wait until you're in lack to try to work yourself up to believe it. Like sometimes with the things of God, we wait till something happens to pray and believe God, and you know we're like, oh, it's happening. We try to be reactive instead of proactive. Faith is proactive. Faith is moving and believing before anything happens. That, you know, just look at Abraham. Abraham, God told him, you'll be the father of many nations. All right? Oh, so many times, how many years is gone? This is going to happen. Oh, his wife comes up. Oh, you should go sleep with somebody else. Look, sometimes, you know, you get Ishmael. Yes, thank you. You get Ishmael, you know, and then, you know, so many times we create Ishmaels just because we don't want to wait on God, especially in finances. And sometimes if you, and I, again, I am learning, I study this to teach this, but I'm learning with everyone, okay? So I'm not perfect in this. I'm growing in it with everyone else. I am glad I am not where I used to be, but I still have a lot way to go. So, but a lot of Ishmaels show up in the form of credit card debt. A lot of it. Again, not judging you. I got credit card debt. There are some Ishmaels that I wanted and I didn't wait on God for, and I just said, wham. And I just wanted it. And some of them, I look back and I'm like, that was my Ishmael. But God is God of grace, and he'll provide you. He he'll always make sure to teach you the lesson, but he'll always pull you out of the pit of the lesson. He'll always pull you out. He will always pull you out. But we're going to talk about the work of faith. Number one thing you have to do in faith is believe. Again, just like what I said, you have to believe before it happens. John 6:29 says, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." God sent his son Jesus so that we can have life and have life more abundantly. And you know, people always, they mistake this in history that Jesus was poor and stuff like that. I always say, what broke person you know needs a treasurer? That's what one of the jobs of the disciples. He had a treasurer. If you have nothing to treasure, you don't need a treasurer. You know what I mean? And if people say, one person said, didn't Jesus ride in on a donkey? I'm like, well, they didn't exactly have Cadillacs back in the day. You know, they didn't even have bicycles, you know? That was the Cadillac of the day. That was it. You know, so, you know, if anybody ever tells you that, just, I mean, you know, be led. Just, you know, try not to slap them. But but always know that Jesus, that God made his son. God was prosperous. I mean, Jesus was prosperous here on earth. And you have to study that and believe that and see that. But number one thing to do in the work of faith is pray. I mean, believe. Two is pray. Number two is pray. Number one is believe. Number two is pray. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. We got to pray. You got to pray. I don't know. There's no really way to expound on that. You just got to pray. You know, you have to believe in order to pray. Don't try. Honestly, I can say this to you guys in here. If you don't believe in your heart, it doesn't even make any sense to go pray. Reason I say that? Because prayer is work by faith. Faith is worked by what you believe. Because you can pray and you feel good for a hot second, but if you don't really believe it, you're just going to fall back right back to where you were. So you got to solidify it in your heart. You got to believe. You got to get into the word and believe it. You have to believe it beforehand. Then you go ahead and go into prayer and take this to God. And when we pray, we're not talking about, Lord, don't go in there with like, you can't go in there like, I don't know if you're going to do this. I don't know if you're going to do that. That's not a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith is already believing in your heart. And you just said, Lord, I know what Lord, this has happened. This has happened. This has happened. But I know what your word says. I know what you said in your word. I believe what you said in the word. And I just thank you that you've taken care of it. And that's what you do. Number three, bind the enemy. Bind the enemy. Some scripture references for this is John 10:10, Matthew 6:19, and Matthew 18:18. You can read those when you get home. But John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You got to bind the enemy. Like I said earlier, the enemy does not want someone that has a passion for God to have money. So Matthew 18:18. He doesn't want somebody that is passionate for God and that preaches the gospel or anything like that to have money. That's the last thing he wants. So you got to bind the enemy. And you see, people get excited about, God has given us authority. He's given us authority. He's given us authority. Well, you know what? He gave you authority for a reason. He gave you authority so you can use it. That's the reason. He gave you authority so you can use it. This is not the Old Testament where God has to do everything for you. It's the authority. He gave us the authority to use it. You need to use the authority that you have and bind the enemy. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Number four. Number one, we got believe. Number two, we got to pray. Number three, got to bind the enemy. Number four, dispatch ministering angels. Got to send them out. Let's look at Matthew 4:11. Dispatch ministering angels. Let's look at Matthew 4:11. Matthew 4:11. It says, then the devil left him. This is right after Jesus. If you read above, this is right after Jesus said, away with you, Satan. This is when he was being tempted in the wilderness. And verse 11 said, the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Let's look in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 1, verse 14. It says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to those who minister for those who will inherit salvation? Look, you have, if you could peel back the layer right now, we all have angels around us right now. Got angels assigned to us right now. You know, they might be in a group talking about each other, said the stupid stuff that we did, they have angels ministered to us right now. They're all here. And you need to send, and you need to, God has given the angels to us to use for us. It's for our purpose. So at times, this isn't the church I grew up in, but this is the church I got serious about the things of God with. In offering, it sounds weird now, but it was just, it's still the word. We used to say, money cometh to me right now. Like the whole church would say it. And it would say it like three times. And it would say, ministering angels come from the east, the west, the north, the south, and bring need of it because we have need. And they would really, like, they would bring it, you know, that's what we would say. That's what we'll declare. And that's what we need to do. We need to declare, and we need to send the angels out for us. That's part of faith. That's part of faith right there. And you saw with Jesus, and you saw where the writer of Hebrews talks about that, that we have ministering angels that are here for us. That's what we need to do. And then let's turn to Romans 4:17. Romans 4:17. It says, I have made you, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God, who gives life to the dead and call those things which do not exist as though they did. Number five, it says here, give a divine summons. I would like to say, just call the money in. Call the money in. You speak to it. You speak to it. You call the money in. We call the money in. That's what we do. That's part of faith. You got to call it in. You know, lately we've been talking a lot about speaking at church, about speaking the word and doing that. That's what makes a difference. You know, you can't stop at praying. You can't stop at believing. You can't stop at binding the enemy. You got to do this. You got to go through it all, because that's all art. That's all aspects of faith. Because again, God blessed us with a new covenant, with a newer covenant than they were in the Old Testament. Okay? They didn't have the Holy Ghost living inside of them. We do. So with that blessing comes an authority, or as what did Uncle Ben say in Spider-Man? With great power comes great responsibility. You know, we have the authority to use. We need to use it. It's on us to use it. It's on us to use it. It is like, if like you're the manager of some place, if you're like, you're the manager at your job. Imagine you're the manager at your job and you're in charge of about 20 people and whatever, but you got one dude that ain't doing nothing that you say. He don't listen to you. He ain't doing that. And then your upper boss comes to you and say, hey, you have authority. You can make him do that. You just need to tell him to do that. But you want to be afraid, and because he looked crazy, you don't want to tell him nothing. That's the equivalent of you having this authority in this life, but you don't use faith to bring money into your house. You got to get out there. You got to use your faith. We all got to use our faith. We have to. We have to. Take it from level to level to level. There are some things, I believe in God for some things right now today. And I declared some things this morning, just like I did the morning before that and the morning before that, because I'm doing what I need to do. We returned our tithe to God this morning. I'm doing what I got to do, and let's go. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. But you have to use the steps, and you have to declare faith. You got to step out on faith in these things. All right? So coming out of poverty, you have to use faith. Number two, they call this the work of the hand. You got to put some work in. You got to put some time in. You got to do something. Okay? You got to do something. You can't just wait. You know, people believe you know, God's called me to be a millionaire. Okay, great. What you going to do? I don't know. You know, hey, God has done some great things, and he's brought people, and, you know, people have bought, you know, purchased houses out of the blue and things like that. But you know what? God wants you to put your hand to something. He wants you to work, and he wants you to do it. Let me say this. You don't work to gain God's approval. You don't work to gain God's approval. You don't work to make God think better of you. You're already his son. You're already his daughter. you are his child of God, that's already settled. You don't work to increase the way you feel about yourself. Don't fall into that. You work because God wants you, you got stuff to do for the kingdom of God. That's what it is. It's not about acceptance. It's not about, you know, the righteousness of God. It's not about who you are in Christ. That's not about that. It's about just God wanting you to put your hands to something. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:10. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, we command you of this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. We got to put our hands to something. Don't be sitting down watching Netflix all day. We got to put our hands to something. You know, I'm working on something right now that God spoke to me a long time, and this past week, it's burning again. And honestly, I ignored. I was running away from it. And you know, sometimes God just has to smack you in the head. And this wasn't really a smack, but it was more like, come on, it's time. You have to find out what God has you to do. Yes, you have your job. Yes, you have what you're doing. But I honestly believe God calls us to make money at our passion. You know, if your job is your passion and you love doing, that's your passion, that's great and that's awesome. You know, do that. But honestly, working at IT at South Florida Water Management, that's not really my passion. It is. I love it. And honestly, God has me there for a season. And I still believe I'm there. And he has me there for a purpose. And I believe that and I know that. Because trust me, I've prayed about leaving a couple times. But God has me there. But it's a season. And I believe God wants everyone to be able, he wants to bless you, everyone to be able to make money and bring money into the kingdom just by doing their passion, whatever their passion is, whatever it is. So, you know, you got to do something. You got to do something. I always say, you just never know. You just never know what makes money. The Snuggie made money. It's a backwards bathrobe. That's all a Snuggie is, really. And some dude, I think he bought an island from it, from the proceeds of that. You just don't know. And I say that to say this. If a guy, and you know what, I don't know if he's a Christian or not. I don't know. But if a guy can make money from a Snuggie, imagine what you can do doing your passion and God's anointing and God's blessing on your life. God's blessing on your life. You know, God wants to bless you using your passion, using the purpose that he created you for. I firmly believe that. Go to Proverbs chapter 6. So that first one was, it says here, admonition to work. Pretty much, I would like to call it, you got to do something. You got to do something. This would be under coming out of poverty. The first one is the work of faith. And then we listed the five steps. And then number two, letter B, is the work of the hand. And then the under work of the hand is number one, is admonition to work, where you got to do something. I got to explain this better. Okay, so we're in the second section. The first section was establishing the will of God. The second section was coming out of poverty. The first step in coming out of poverty is using faith. And that's where we talked about believing, prayer, binding the enemy, dispatching, ministering angels, and giving and declaring the work of God, or call the money in. The second part of coming out of poverty, they call it the work of the hand, which is where, like I said, you got to do something. And number one is, they call it the admonition to work. You have to do something. You just have to do something. There's something you have to do. You have to step out there. Number two, the God warns us about laziness. He warns us about laziness. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. I always like to say, you know, and I honestly need to get back on this more consistently. I like to read a proverb a day. Read a proverb for the day of the day of the month. So like today you would read Proverbs chapter 28. I would say a proverb a day will keep stupid away. I'm telling you, you know. it helps keep the foolishness away. All right? And hear what it says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Look, great way to say this is that you can't be lazy. You gotta put your hand to something. Now, everything is in balance. I wanna say that. You can't be a workaholic. You can't be lazy. I've started this about a month ago. And I found myself more efficient since. No, not a month ago. It's like maybe a week or two. But I found myself more efficient since. I always ask myself, what is my purpose in what I'm doing right now? What is my purpose in what I'm doing right now? Sometimes, if you have a purpose to rest, that's okay. If you just need to rest, you have to do that. But sometimes I caught myself and I'm like, I'm just watching TV because the TV is on. The TV is here. I was just being lazy. And this is one of those questions you have to ask yourself and be real with yourself and be honest with yourself. But I always ask myself on a regular basis, what am I doing? Why am I doing this right now? And there's times where I'm resting. So yeah, watch TV. I'm watching the basketball. One time I was watching the basketball game. But then the blowout was so bad, I just turned off the TV and went to bed. Because there was no reason in watching it anymore. And I was just staying up to watch it because it was there. So the purpose was that I realized I was just wasting time. So I turned it into something beneficial, which was going to sleep, because I needed to go to sleep to get up early the next morning. Sometimes you just really got to periodically ask yourself, what's my purpose in doing what I'm doing? Because sometimes you'll realize that it helps with laziness. You'll realize when you're being lazy, and you'll realize when you're doing something just because you're just doing something, and then it'll help, if you're honest with yourself, it'll help you change what you're doing. It helps laziness. So that's something I do. If you feel free to just try that every so often. When you catch yourself just doing nothing, ask what your purpose is. If you need to rest, you need to rest. That's not being lazy, that's a necessity. God called us to rest. But he did not call us just to do nothing on a regular basis. There are times I take a day that I'm going to do nothing. There are times I'll get up, I'll pray, but then for the rest of the day, I'm doing nothing. And a whole lot of nothing. And nothing but nothing. But it can't be every day. Can't be every day. There are times I it's okay. You could check out sometimes. You want to sit back, binge watch a little bit or go to the movies. I'm a person, I go to the movies by myself all the time. People say it's weird. I don't care. I love it. It's so relaxing. Sometimes you just do that every so often. You need to catch yourself. But don't make that your habit. That shouldn't be your habit. That should be the exception. That should be the exception. So we got to be diligent to what we're doing. All right. And letter C, this is part of coming out of poverty. The first one was you got to use faith. The second one was, or B, you got to do something. C, receiving the promise through godly wisdom. Receiving the promise of coming out of poverty through godly wisdom. When you go home, write this down. Number one, Solomon was a great example. Solomon was an example. Write this down, 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 5 through 14. God used Solomon, you know, you guys, I think most of you know in here how Solomon, you know, why God blessed Solomon so much, because God, he said, I'll give you anything you need. He said, he asked for wisdom, but he didn't ask to be rich. He didn't ask for anything else. He just simply asked for wisdom. And God said, because you asked for wisdom, I'll give you everything you need. And honestly, look, that's a great example right there. Because in 1 John, it talks about he prospers us and gives us health as our soul prospers. I like to look at it like this. My son is 8. I would not give him $20,000 to say, hey, do what you want with it. Huh? Yeah. He going to be at McDonald's. I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to be eating until he's like this. My daughter, she will buy something to color every aspect of that thing. She'll spend it all on art. That's what she would do. And some of us, sometimes, you know, God wants to bless us. He does. But if he gives us everything right now, we would not know what to do with it. And sometimes you will end up in a worse spot than what you were. You ever heard all these people that won the lottery? Some people, they won the lottery, and then they end up way worse than what they were in like a year or two. And that's a perfect example of, you need the wisdom. God wants it. Let's read it. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John. I think it's 1 John 3:16. Hold on. I want to make sure I got the right verse. Where may you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Where is that? I'm using Google right now. Oh, it's 3 John. I apologize. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. It says, Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prosperous. You need to be healthy in order to handle abundance. You got to be wise in order to handle abundance. You just like how I wouldn't give my 8-year-old son a whole bunch of money just to tell him what he wants to do, I need to teach him about money first. I need to teach him about that. You know, they're understanding tithing right now, but my son still wants to, Daddy, can I bring a dollar for the vending machine? Wow, you got a snack right here. No, I just want to buy it at my daughter's gymnastics. There's a vending machine to buy stuff. So he just, because he has a dollar, he wanted to just buy stuff just because he had a dollar. I was like, Derek, you have that same snack right at your house at home that's in the vending machine. And I was like, you don't need to spend it. And this is something I'm just teaching him. You don't need to spend it because you have it. But then, you know, you have some, depending on your child, you have some other people that will just like, I ain't spending nothing. I'm going to put everything right here and stack it up. You know, so it just depends on the child. My daughter is more that way. Like she has a big old crayon and she just puts everything in. And, you know, I got to teach her, hey, okay, like one perfect example this week, they was having Kona ice at the school. And I'm like, okay, it's $2, but she's like, I want the large. I'm like, okay, we'll give you $2. If you want the large one, you have to use your own money. Just, you know, you teach them. Balance. Well, we didn't end up having change, so we ended up giving them 5 anyways. But still, you know, that was the principle that we were trying to do, you know? But you got to start to teach them. And God wants to bless us, but we have to understand that we need wisdom. We need to be able to handle the blessing that God brings to us. All right? Number two, happy, receiving the promise through the godly wisdom. Number two, it's labeled, it says happy followers. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13. It says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. You need wisdom. You need wisdom. We're going to take a break shortly. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter. Actually, we're not gonna go there. I'll read this later. But number three, just write Christ followers. Christ followers. And read, when you get home, read Matthew 6, 19 through 34. Christ followers. Pretty much, when you receive godly wisdom and you follow Christ, there's nothing that can stop you. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 34. And number four, Christ made wisdom to us. And that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. There's a wit, huh? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. There's a wisdom, and there's, how do I put this? There's wisdom living inside of you because you have the Holy Ghost living inside of you. You just need to yield to it. We just need to yield to it. We all need to yield to it. Whenever, and I'm using natural examples right now, if you want, just because you want something doesn't mean you need to buy it. If you can't afford it right now, I would say believe God for it rather than paying for something two or three times over from interest. Believe God for it. I would, easier said than done, because again, I've made stupid decisions too, and I was impatient. But there are other things that, I've just literally just believed God. And I'll tell you this, we'll take a break after this story. And this was the beginning of this for me, was that one day I just said, God, and I know this is going to sound silly, this was about 10 years ago, but I said, God, I want an Xbox. And I just said it. And, it wasn't no big, deep prayer session. I just said it. And lo and behold, somebody moved on God's heart, and that's what happened. And, that was the beginning of me learning how to receive. That was the beginning. It was something simple as that. Because it was just like, it's an Xbox. I just asked. It was so easy. And then I realized, if you do that after that, how much, he's not going to hold anything else back. He's not going to hold anything else back. And that was the beginning of me just being fully fledged and following God and his purpose towards finances. Because it was just like, it was just the beginning. And it was just kind of like, wow, I've always been taught to tithe. And, my dad always gave me $2 and $1 growing up for church. He's like, this is your tithe. This is your offering. I didn't really know, but, he kind of created the habit. But that was the first time that I was just kind of like, oh, wow. He really does care about the numbers of hair on my head. Like, he knows that number. He knows that number. That's what the Bible says. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And that was when I honestly was just kind of like, wow, it really hit home. So, you know, as far as in wisdom, use God's wisdom for things that you want in your life. Don't just go out and buy something just because you want it. If you can afford it and, you know, everything is gravy and everything is good, and if you're married, you and your spouse agree on it, fine, go. But if you know you can't afford it, seek God's wisdom on it. Number one, you may not need it. You just may want it, you may not need it. You may not really want what happens. There's a amount of people that I know that bought a boat and hated the fact that they bought a boat after they bought a boat. Because they bought it, used it like 3 times, and then they're spending more time and money on maintenance than actually enjoying the boat. I've known a couple people like that. That will never be a problem with me because I have no desire to have a boat. None. But you have to seek God's wisdom on it. All right? So we're going to take a break right now, and 10-minute break, and we'll be back in about 10 minutes. Yeah. We good? All right, we got about 30 minutes here, and we got a short section to go in. So, number three, or just a short review. Number one, for biblical finances, you establish the will of God regarding finances. And we understand that God gives life itself. And number two, under establishing the will of God, you had poverty versus prosperity. And I gave you the definitions of each. Number three, we have the levels of prosperity. And I gave you definitions for provision and abundance. Then in number two, you got to come out of poverty. And you start with the work of faith, then the work of the hand. And now we're going on to abundance. So now that you use your faith, and now that you put your hand to something, we're going to go on to abundance. All right, so that's section three. You can write this down. In order to go on to abundance or prosperity, we must establish in our hearts, and I'll repeat it again, whether God promises this abundance in his covenant. I'll say this again. In order to go on from abundance or prosperity, we must establish in our hearts whether God promises this abundance to us in his covenant. I'll say it one more time. In order to go on to abundance or prosperity, we must establish in our hearts whether God promises this abundance to us in his covenant. In other words, to move, and I think I jumped ahead of myself earlier because I said it, to move from level to level, you must know in your heart that God has promised this to us in his covenant. Do I need to repeat it again? Okay. In order to go on to abundance or prosperity, we must establish in our hearts whether God promises this abundance to us in his covenant. In order to go on to abundance or prosperity, we must establish in our hearts whether God promises this abundance to us in his covenant. Now, the word prosperity in like the King James Version, it has many translations, and it doesn't always mean like wealth. It doesn't always mean wealth. In 3 John 2, and 3 John only has one chapter. So in 3 John 2, 1 and 2, it says to have a good journey. It means to have a good journey. In one other way, it means to act wisely. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, it means to act wisely. means to act wisely. In Psalms chapter 35 and verse 27, it means shalom or perfect peace. Psalms chapter 35 verse 27, it means shalom or perfect peace. In Psalms 1:3, chapter 1 verse 3, it means to push forward. So you mean it has to have a good journey, to act wisely. Excuse me. Shalom or perfect peace. And number 4, to push forward. And really, when you think about these, you won't want each of these in your life. You want every aspect of this in your life. You want to have a good journey. Every life. You want your life to be good. You do. You don't want to struggle from problem to problem. You want to go from glory to glory. So you want to have a good journey. You need to act wisely on this journey, as we talked about before. You need wisdom. And while you're doing this, you want to have peace. You want to have peace. And bless you. And how many of you guys know money doesn't necessarily bring peace? Money doesn't necessarily bring peace. Don't judge me, but I've listened to Steve Harvey, what happened to him in the last couple months, he's done Family Feud, he's done Little Big Shots, he's been a comedian around the world or whatever, and he was talking about how much money he has to spend to protect his money, because right now he has an ex-wife suing him for either $40 or $60 million because she claimed that he killed her soul. This is literally that's what it's about. That's what she's claiming, that he killed her soul. So she's suing for $60 million. I'm pretty sure, it's either 40 or 60, but I'm pretty sure it's 60. And it's like, yeah, that's a going price for a soul, is $60 million, It's like, oh my gosh, so now he has to spend money to protect his money. So, that's the thing with God, and you may have trials and you may have things like that, but you need to have wisdom, and God will give you peace with your abundance. He'll give you peace. And also, to push forward. I like to put it like this. You're going to do something with your money. You're going to do something with your money. Money does enable some people to do some things that they wouldn't be able to do otherwise. You're able to finance. You'll be able to finance a mission trip over in India. You'll be able to see someone that needs a car and buy them a car. Honestly, I'm telling you, one of the things that breaks my heart, and it's just a passion of mine, and I believe I'll get here one day, is to see single moms catching the bus. It hurts me. Like, I see it, and I'm like, it just gets me right here. It just gets me right here. And so, abundance enables people, and that's going to be that's a passion of mine, and I'm telling you, it's coming. I'll be able to do that. I believe I'll be able to do that. But it enables to do some things. Abundance enables you to do some things that you wouldn't be able to do on your own. I can't do that right now. Not right now. But that day is coming. And, it may not, even when it starts, it may not be a brand new car. It may be a $2,000 car off of whatever lot over here. But you know what? It's starting something. It's the beginning of something. I'm telling you. So abundance, going on to abundance, it pushes you forward. Wealth, it pushes you forward. Now, B, here are some scriptures that actually promise financial, material goods and wealth. First one, Psalms 112 verses 1, 2, and 3. For time's sake, I'm just going to read this. You can go back and read it later. Yeah, wealth and riches. There promises wealth and riches. In Proverbs, number 2, in Proverbs 10, 12, it says, it maketh rich. Proverbs 10, 22, not Proverbs 10, 12. I apologize about that. Proverbs 10, 22. Actually, let's read that. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. That goes right above with that, you know, that shalom and perfect peace. It adds no sorrow to it. When God blesses you, there will be no sorrow. There will be no baggage with it. And honestly, I personally believe that's because you will have the wisdom to handle the abundance. You'll have the wisdom to handle abundance. You'll know what to do. You'll know what not to do. Because look, this is the thing. Abundance will put you in the decision, will put you in a place where you have to say no. You have to say no to some people. No is not a bad word. No is actually one of the best words that can make someone grow, honestly. And without wisdom, it'll be hard for you to say no. Honestly, a lot of the people, and I've looked this up, a lot of people that won the lottery, a big reason why they got broke or why they got broke over time was because they didn't say no to people. I listened, this one basketball player, Tracy McGrady, he came right out of high school, got a big sneaker contract with Reebok. It was like $100 million. That was the bronze. I don't remember. It was a lot of money. And his first check that he ever got was $100,000. He didn't know what to do. He just went, he spent it. I think he said he spent the whole check in like 2 days. And this continued to happen. And then one day his financial advisor made him sit down. He's like, look, he was bugging him. He's like, you need to come see me. And he was blowing him off. And then he did something, but he made him come down and sit down and talk with him. And what he did was that he showed him, if you continue on the trend you are now, this is what you're going to be left with when you're done playing basketball. That was good enough for him. He didn't say exactly what it was, but the things what he did, he gave, you know, he had his old entourage. He gave everyone either $10,000 or $25,000 and said, don't ask me for any more. And that was it. And of course, you know, that's another thing. Money will help you find who your true friends are. Because, you know, people got offended, people got that. And I think it was like his best friend was like, I'm not even taking the money. He's just like, I'm not even taking the money. I'm not offended. He said he was kind of offended at first, but he's like, I'm not taking the money. And then he kind of explained to him what was going on. He's like, okay, I'm still not taking the money, but, you know, we're boys still. And he found out who his true friends were. Because even the people that, you know, said, you know, it's not like he cut him off. He gave them some money. You know, how many guys would like $25,000 right now? You know, hey, praise Jesus. You know, but he gave them some money and they said, just don't ask me for any more. And people got offended or whatever. Money will help you realize who your true friends are. But you know what? Somebody had to sit down and bring some wisdom into him to see that. We need to seek God's wisdom on our finances. At first, you need to be wise in what you have now before you can be wise in having more of what you have now. You have to handle what you have. You have to be wise with what you have right now. You just have to. Wise means making adjustments. Wisdom, I think the biggest indicator of wisdom in someone's life is the adjustments that they make. If you refuse to make adjustments, you will stay the same. You just will. You have to make adjustments. Because We are not perfect. We are not perfect. We are not. We all have tendencies. We may have flaws in different ways, but we all still have flaws. Some people are better with money, and some people are better with health. You know, it's just whatever you are. You know who you are. You know what your strengths are. You know what your weaknesses are. But even in your strengths, you need to make adjustments. I mean, actually, think about it. Whatever you're strong in right now, whatever a good strength of yours is right now, over the years, even though that's a strength, you probably made adjustments in that strength. You either learn how to do it better, or you learn how to cut some things off, you went for training, or whatever it is. You learn how to do it better. Whatever your strengths are. So even with your weaknesses, you make adjustments to get better and get stronger at it. You know, wisdom calls for you to make adjustments. And we need to make sure that we're handling our money right today. Because when you handle your money right today, it's setting you up for abundance in the future. It's not an issue of perfection. It's not an issue of perfection. It's really an issue of habits. It's really an issue of habits. It's not a perfection thing. It's not you're going to be this, and everything. Because even like I showed you my eat out money, sometimes I've gone over. It happens. But it's still better than not having a budget at all. It's still better than not having any boundaries at all. Because even when I went over, and like there was one time I went over and I was just somewhere and I didn't bring my lunch from home. And I'm like, you know what? I just got to eat. But it made me think. It made me think, oh man, you know what? I got to get this right. I need to make more adjustments. You make adjustments. That's part of wisdom. All right. Number three, riches and honor, Proverbs 22:4. These are scriptures that actually promise financial, material goods, and wealth. Proverbs 22:4. Next one, let's go to 2 Corinthians 8:9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you become rich. See, like I said, the whole gospel, it's all for our benefit. Jesus took care of all the bad parts. He took care of all the other parts. He took care of all of that so we can enjoy the benefits. You know, really, you have to really look at it like this. Sometimes it hurts to grow, but it's not bad. It's just part of the process. Pain is involved in the process. Making adjustments. You ever go to the chiropractor? I haven't. I've heard though. I've never been to a chiropractor, but I've heard that it's painful at first. But after, when you leave, you feel a lot better. Sometimes in the process of making adjustments, and sometimes it's painful. Sometimes there's things that are just uncomfortable. I got like three thoughts in my head and I'm trying to get it all out. Just because you're uncomfortable doesn't mean it's bad. Just because you're uncomfortable doesn't mean it's bad. Most of your growth will happen outside of your comfort zone. That's where most of your growth happens, outside your comfort zone. You know, just like the illustration I said with Tracy McGrady. It was uncomfortable for to tell his people no. But for his own benefit, he had to. Had to. Think of something that you put time and effort in. Actually, look, you're here right now on a Sunday night at 7:47, and you're taking time from your weekend, it's uncomfortable. Not necessarily painful, but it's uncomfortable. You could be doing some other stuff. You could be at the movies or at home or whatever. But hey, you're here. That's growth. Most of the things that cause you to grow will be uncomfortable, but it's simply part of the process. You know, everything has balance. Everything has balance. You know, for me, you know, but like I have kids at home. I could be at home with my kids playing with them. But I make sure I make sure that I have time with them so I can do this. So they, you know, so they don't grow up saying, "Dad was never home." You know, it's all in balance. You just gotta do it. But never run away from being uncomfortable. Lean into it. Like, just face it. Just face it. Look it right in the eye. Look at it pain right in the eye. Because one thing you'll realize, it's just for a season. It's temporary. The other side of uncomfortability is so much worth. It's so worth it. The other side of being uncomfortable is so worth it. So just lean into it. Make the changes, make the adjustments that you need to make. But here, Christ, you know, Jesus did this for us so that we may become rich. He did it for us. He took care of poverty. You don't have to be poor because Jesus did it for us. And I know that may sound strange, but that's what the word says. So it's either you're going to believe God's word or you won't. There are some things that just come down to, are you going to believe God or not? That's what the Bible says. And let's go over one chapter over, verse 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. For number 4, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, you can that's he made you to be rich. I don't know. I don't think I said that. He made you to be rich. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 and 11 says, Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. The way God makes you rich is through the seed sown. It's just, you know how the Bible talks a lot about farming, you know, and things like that. It's the seed sown. That's how God brings the wealth to you. That's how he brings the money to you. You have to sow. You sow seeds. Yes, there's the tithe and the offering that return back to God. But you know what? You gotta sow some seed. You got in Ecclesiastes, it said you may sow the bread upon the water, but after many days, it will come back to you. You got to sow seed. You got to do something. You know, and it doesn't have to be a big thing. It's just do what you can when you can. If it's paying for somebody behind you at Publix, pay for somebody in the drive-thru. You know, I don't think you mind me saying this, but, you know, When the guest minister was here, Dr. Moore, I wanted one of the CDs, and I had to leave early for Anaya. I called Angel. I asked him to get me the CDs, and I was going to pay him back. And he just said, "Hey, don't worry about it. That's a seed sown. That's a blessing to my life." I know he don't mind me saying that. That's a seed into my life, and that's a sown. That's a seed sown. That's because it's enriching my life. And it is on finances. So, and you gotta, you know, sometimes we all look for the, we don't want to do the little things because it's not big enough. But then sometimes when the big things come, you're like, you're too scared. Start where you're at. Do the little things. I mean, if you look for the opportunity and pray for the opportunity, it'll come to you. Because sometimes we don't see the opportunity because we don't look for it. Listen out for it. Sometimes you just hear somebody saying, oh, I don't have this or whatever. Just do it. You know, my first Wednesday at BVC, back on 10th and Jog, it was 2000, like in the year 2001. And I came to the youth group, and back then we used to go to a restaurant to eat. And, you know, I was in college, and, you know, I wasn't really, I was broke. I was broke. I was living off of my parents, and I didn't have $10 to go to Papa Bear's. That's what the place we were going. And Miss Margie, love Miss Margie. She comes up to me, and I was just kind of sitting in the corner because this is my first time. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anybody except Kevin and Curtis. And I really, at that time, just Curtis. And, you know, I didn't know anybody. And she just saw me in the corner. She's like, how you doing? She's like, yeah. She's like, are you going to go? I was like, no, I don't have $10. This is Miss Margie's next action. Who has $10? I need $10. Devon needs $10 to go to Papa Bear's. Who has $10? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I am so embarrassed right now because I don't got $10. And everybody knows I don't have $10. I was really embarrassed. But Miss Naomi... not Naomi, other Naomi. She said, I got $10 for you, darling. You know, if you know her, you know, that's how she was. And she gave me $10. And, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, well, thank you. You know, but things like that, she was looking and she was listening. I mean, and that one, it was easier to hear because Miss Margie was blasting it. But there's those opportunities are always around you. That's why I said that story to say. Opportunities like that are always around you. Always. Sometimes you just got to tune in a little harder. You may not have Miss Margie saying, who got $10? But if you look and you pay attention, there's some people to bless. Do what you can. Oh, we got the pie auction coming up. Do what you can. Do what you can. I'm telling you, personal experience, I didn't go to Camp Decision as a youth because I didn't go to Camp Decision as a youth, but I did go to a youth camp. And the youth camp that I went to, that was the turning point in my life as far as my walk with God. Me and one of my friends that's a pastor in Orlando, both of us, we got serious with the things of God at that time. It was that camp that made all the difference. So, you know, we got the pie auction coming up. Do what you can. $25, whatever. Just do what you can. It'll make a difference. It makes a difference. And all that seed, it comes back to you. See, the blessing and this part, it says part C here, under going on to abundance. You don't have to write this down, but or you can paraphrase it if you want. It says, the blessing of the old and new covenant are ours through the mediator of the better covenant. It's worded kind of weird. Sorry. But the blessing of the old and new covenant are ours through the mediator of the better covenant. Pretty much it's saying, Jesus made the new covenant so much better. He did the work for us. He gave us this better covenant in finances and stuff like that. He gave it to us. He made it better for us. In Hebrews 8:6, it says, the covenant, there's a better covenant that's established on better promises. Guys, God has promised you a lot. He has promised you a lot. And it's on us to go and receive what he's promised us. You know, the one thing with poverty, it's pretty much you don't have enough. But yet God gives you, he wants you to have way more than enough. The enemy would rather you stay in poverty. God wants you to have way more than enough. Who's more powerful? Every time. I always say, when you get this word in you and you believe it in your heart, it's easier to move towards abundance and think abundance than it is to lack. But you have to get it in you first. You have to get it in you first. Naturally speaking, it's easier to fall back into lack because that's just how the world is. It makes you think negative. But when you get the word in you and you believe the word, I'm going to say this to you guys. The way you think is a reflection of what you believe. The way you think is a reflection of what you believe. So sometimes you have to take an honest, hard look at your thought life. How do I believe? You know, do I believe God can do it? Or that? Now, there are sometimes negative thoughts come, but one negative thought compared to nine positive thoughts, you're on the right track. But even with the negative thoughts that come, what do you do with the negative thoughts? Do you meditate on it, or do you bring God's word into the picture and get rid of it? We need to get God's word in us so we can renew the mind. And when we renew the mind, it will renew our actions. And when we renew our actions, you'll see faith start working so much faster, quicker stuff. And it's, I don't want to say, now I shouldn't say faster and quicker, but you'll just see it start working. And you get better results. And you'll just start seeing, things that you thought that were impossible, it will become second nature. Things that were impossible will become second nature. But we got to get the word in us. And that's what it's about. Just like I said, you have to get in your mind that your job is not your source. God is your source. You have to know that. He uses a job to give us seed to sow, but it's God that gave us the job in the first place. But then he also gave us the money. So that gives us the money to sow seed. And, you know, we really want to get to a place where we're living from the harvest from our seed. That's what we want to get to. You know, I'm still working on that. You know, I'm a sower. I believe in sowing. I like to look for it. You know, I'm not perfect in it. There's times I mess up in it, but I believe in sowing when I can. And we're going to get into giving and receiving, but you also need to learn how to receive when you can. You know, just like with like Angel with the CDs, there would have been a time like, no, here, you gotta, how much was it? Come on, tell me how much. Tell me how much it was, you know, and then I would have given him because all of that, if you really break it down, is just pride. It's just pride. So you gotta learn how to give, learn how to receive, and we're going to get into that. I don't know if it's next week or the week after, but you got to learn how to give and receive. All right? So that's pretty much it for tonight. You have your homework. You got your homework. List two people from the Bible that demonstrates God's will regarding our finances. I'll say use one from the Old Testament, use one from the New Testament. And how did God show these people what his will was regarding his finances? Number two, what are three reasons that God wants you to move, what are three reasons that God wants to move his people, from poverty to prosperity. From poverty to prosperity. See, this is why I need to have my wife proofread these things before I send it out. Number three, what are three verses that someone can meditate on to form or strengthen their beliefs about God's will for finances? Write three verses. Because we all need to meditate on these things. We all need to change how we think regarding finances. We all need to make adjustments in how we think regarding finances. We all do. Nobody has arrived. Nobody has arrived. Nobody has it perfect. But it can go from level to level to glory to glory to glory to glory. You are at one part right now. Take it up another notch. Stretch your faith out. I got amounts that I'm believing for that it's stretching, but I just know when it happens, that's God. You got to stretch it. Always be believing for something. I think Pastor Peggy has said that. Always be believing for something. If you don't have nothing to believe for, let me holler at you. I'll talk with you. Let me believe with me for something. Always be believing for something. Your faith will always grow if you do that. Your faith will always grow if you do that. So, we'll be back here next week. I will find out what we're doing for Father's Day, if we're going to have class or not. I don't think so. Yeah, okay. That's why I didn't think so. We'll have that week off. And if you ever miss a class, let Ben know. He'll send you the email of the recording. They send it out every week. Okay, gotcha. All right, I'm still new here. So we're good. All right, you guys are blessed. Have a great night. And again, I probably will say this every week, but thank you for the sacrifice that you're making to the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God. So it's going to be good. All right.